For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. The U.S. Justice Department's Inspector General is launching a probe into the FBI's actions ahead of last year's presidential election. The investigation involves a fresh look at whether the FBI's Director James Comey cost Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton the election by commenting on an email scandal just days before the presidential vote. Our Washington correspondent Nina Maria Potts reports.
The fact that the Inspector General is launching a probe into the pre-election actions of the FBI is music to the ears of Democrats and the Clinton campaign, who see the behavior of FBI Director James Comey as playing a big part in why she lost the election. Just days ahead of the election, he told Congress that the FBI was looking into emails found on a computer belonging to disgraced former politician Anthony Weiner that might or might not be relevant to the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server while she was heading up the State Department. His decision to declare publicly that Hillary Clinton was still under scrutiny by the FBI is believed by many Democrats to have seriously damaged her chances just days ahead of the presidential vote.
Meanwhile, confirmation hearings have been continuing on Capitol Hill for Donald Trump's cabinet picks. Both retired U.S. General James Mad Dog Mattis, Trump's pick for defense secretary, and his more controversial nominee of Kansas Representative Mike Pompeo for CIA chief began their questionings on Thursday. This came as President-elect Trump announced he'd chosen former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani to form a team of private sector cybersecurity experts. Our U.S. correspondent Rachel Silverman has more.
Cybersecurity has become a key issue for the Trump team. The president-elect conceded on Wednesday what U.S. intelligence agencies have said for some time, that Russia hacked email servers at the Democratic National Committee with the aim of helping the Trump campaign. Rudy Giuliani, who was a surrogate and advisor to Trump during the presidential campaign, currently runs an international security consulting firm. He will initiate the process of getting input from private sector leaders to address cybersecurity.
U.S. regulators have accused carmaker Fiat Chrysler of installing software which violated emission standards. The case is similar to the emission scandal that has surrounded Volkswagen for the last year and a half. FSN's Nick Harper has this report.
The accusation comes from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. It claims Fiat Chrysler used a computer program in about 100,000 of its diesel vehicles to get around the required safe emissions levels. The alleged cover-up relates to its Jeep Grand Cherokee and Dodge Ram. The EPA says Fiat Chrysler's actions are a clear and serious violation of the Clean Air Act to illegal pollution.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks, Rebecca Foster, and a warm welcome to the program to you. It's the Thursday's program, the 12th of January 2017. My name is Richie Allen. The British media is obsessed with the weather at the moment. It's pretty good here in the northwest, very cold. No sign of all of that snow we were promised. Let's get on with the program. The global even phone-in returns today.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show. Brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, it couldn't be simpler to call me during the next 2 hours. You can Skype me. Our Skype line is Chat with Richie. That's all one word, Chat with Richie. We've put a meme up on Facebook and on Twitter so you can see how it's spelled. Chat with Richie on Skype. Or you can phone the program, +44 161 408 2017. If you're calling from outside the UK, if you're calling from inside the UK, the phone number is 0161 408 2017. That's 0161 408 2017. The lines will be open in a couple of minutes. I'll be taking your calls and anything. There isn't an agenda. I don't have any topic or any subject or any ideas, really. It's up to you. There's any big news story that we've been covering this week that you'd like to talk about, you can do that. Failing that, if you'd like to tell me a story, if you'd like to tell me about something that happened to you or your own personal experience as it relates to what's going on in the world, I'm happy to hear that as well. Once again, it's a chat with Richie on Skype, and the telephone number is +44 161 408 2017. So great stuff. Yeah, it's freezing, absolutely freezing out. You wouldn't put a dog out in it, is the old cliche. But we've been spared, at least on, I suppose, those of us closer to sea level have been spared the bad weather they are enduring in the south, where they have had snow, snowy blasts and thunder snow, which is still making me laugh. And a number of you have been in touch with me today laughing at that. So I suppose it's funny until you're caught in thunder snow. Then it doesn't become, or it doesn't seem quite as funny, I would have guessed. Went back to the dentist this afternoon, just about in the nick of time for the swelling and the numbness and the soreness to kind of wear away. I hope now I'm done with dentists for a long time. As I was leaving, there's a lovely dentist who is aware of the programme and who has listened to the programme, might be listening tonight, a lovely guy, said to me, 6 months now, we'll see you for a checkup. I'm like, great, as long as it isn't any time before then. So that's all done as well. 6.5 minutes past the hour. Well, there is a story that I think Rebecca Foster mentioned in the news bulletin there. I didn't hear it because I was running around the studio plugging in an extra bit of gear as the broadcast was on. But I did hear her mention Mad Dog Mattis and Pompeo. What's been going on over the last few days? The nominees for various jobs in the Trump administration have been meeting with the Senate. Well, in fact, they've been attending their own Senate confirmation hearings. Today, it was the turn of General James Mad Dog Mattis, who's the nominee for Defence Secretary. Now, also attending their hearing was Mike Pompeo, who's Trump's pick to head up the CIA. Now, it's being widely reported that in that hearing, both of them were very quick to talk about the threat, even say it properly, excuse me, the threat of Russia in the future. And Mad Dog Mattis warned that NATO was under its biggest attack since the Second World War. Russia. Mad Dog Mattis. Mike Pompeo went on to say that Moscow posed a threat in Europe and was asserting itself aggressively in Ukraine. The tough talk, writes the BBC today, follows Mr. Trump's call for warmer relations with Russia. Warmer relations with Russia. Now, a number of recent guests on this programme, people whom I'm very fond of but whom I profoundly disagree with, would have you believe that the nominees are telling the Senate what the Senate wants to hear, and after they're confirmed and take their jobs, they're then going to turn into, well, messianic type figures who are going to lead the world away from interventionism and war and murder and everything else that goes with it. That's what they're going to do. I think that's utter nonsense, by the way. I've been saying this for a long time, but learned men, it must be said, say that these guys will tell the media and the Senate whatever they want to hear, but don't worry too much about it because they'll be different when they're in office. I don't buy it. More on that maybe throughout the programme. Once again, Chat with Richie is my Skype name. You can call 0161 408 2017 if you're in the UK, outside the UK, +44 161 408 2017. There's only one rule. There's two rules about phone-ins. One, no profanity. And two, that's ironic, isn't it? Me saying no profanity. But let's leave it out. I won't profane either. That's number one. Number two, it's a one-time only deal. I'm not going to be taking your call a second or a third time. So it's a one-time only call. And our first caller is on the line now. Caller, good evening. Welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Richie. It's Jonathan Brown.
Jonathan, how are you? Welcome to the programme. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me. I've managed to come in as a first caller twice now, so I'm feeling blessed.
Well, you're not blessed. I'm blessed. Now, surely you're going to talk to me about Trump and the Senate confirmation hearings and the email hacking and everything.
Well, you know, yes, I am. But, Richie, I just wanted to ask you before we get started, how do you keep your sanity? I mean, I just keep abreast of these issues, but you're right smack in the middle of them every day researching them. I don't know how you and David Icke keep your sanity with it. It's insane.
Well, particularly David, because he's been on the road for 30 years. Me, I don't do very much other than read the stories and with my producer phone the potential guests, and I'm not being modest. So I don't think too hard about it outside of the programme, Jonathan. I tend to leave it all behind me, which people don't understand. When I'm not on air and at weekends, I don't have anything to do with it. I just walk away from it and ignore it and pretend it's not going on, basically.
Yeah, I have an actor friend named Dennis Haysbert. He played the getaway driver in the movie Heat.
Right, very good.
Yeah. And Dennis is a friend of mine. He said, you know, excuse me, when he was learning how to act, he had an instructor that said, look, when you get off that, when the camera goes, when the director yells cut or you walk off the stage, that's it. You're out of character, you know.
You're done.
And he can do that. I can't. But anyway, you know, first, before we get into Trump and his, did you hear about Rex Tillerson and the him perjuring himself in the confirmation hearing?
I haven't, no. When was Tillerson in front of the Senate? Yesterday, was it, or was it Tuesday?
Yeah, it was just recently, and Tillerson's there, and they asked him point blank, have you ever called to influence or find out about, or lobby against sanctions against Russia, or stop sanctions against Russia? Forgive me, I didn't fully invest myself in the article. I just basically saw that there's a lot of people saying that Rex Tillerson just basically perjured himself right out, you know, right in the middle of his confirmation hearing and said, no, I was calling to find out what the sanctions would have an effect on. But I wasn't calling to lobby. Here's the CEO of ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil, of course, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
For Secretary of State.
it's madness, the last gasp of American democracy, putting the foxes in charge of the chicken coop. Did you hear about the House of Representatives passing laws to make lawmakers immune to prosecution?
That's right, Jonathan, yeah. It's something that we're going to be covering in great depth in the coming weeks. But there's been a history of that. There's been a history of that sort of corruption. We often talk about the Florida bill passed some years ago to make, you know, news organisations telling lies legal, basically, that it's okay to make up the news. We talked before about the farmer who took Monsanto to the Supreme Court, and one of the Supreme Court justices was Clarence Thomas, who, of course, worked for Monsanto in the 1970s and didn't recuse himself. It's staggering. It's staggering, the corruption.
Well, I've heard rumors that Hillary Clinton was deeply associated with Monsanto. Is that correct, or was she a lawyer for Walmart?
That I couldn't tell you. Now, maybe some of our listeners know that. Maybe some of our listeners know that and can tell us on Twitter or can phone in and tell us. Don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if, as... I mean, she was a lawyer for a long time. If her paths, you know, didn't cross with some of these... characters. It wouldn't surprise me, Jonathan.
No, no question. I mean, the thing about the American elections, as we've seen in detail, I mean, first of all, I have to now acknowledge your point completely 100% from our last conversation. Yeah, you're right. Doesn't matter who you vote for. I've heard you talking about Jeremy Corbyn, and I got to say, I still like the guy, and he's going after Jeremy Hunt and the NHS, and the Tories destroying it. And, you know, aside from American politics, the Tories are destroying the NHS.
Well, they are, Jonathan. You see, the thing, I was saying this to the future Mrs. Allen the other day. If there's one issue that any leader of the Labour Party should be able to take a Conservative Party, a Conservative government to task on, it's the destruction of the NHS.
Yes.
I mean, that's like shooting an open goal for Corbyn.
Yes.
And I'm not knocking him now. You know, I'm not knocking him, but it's something it's a massive open goal for him there.
Yeah, it's really quite the easy thing to do. Now, what about Richard Branson? Have people been talking about the fact that he's got endless number of multi-million pound contracts to take over the NHS?
We have. We've touched on this before. I can't remember which city it is in, but again, I'm going to revert to the listeners. Yeah. But Virgin Care has been given contracts by local governments in this country to provide care for senior citizens and healthcare, and that's just the tip of the iceberg with Virgin and with Branson. So that's in the public domain. But again, outside of programmes like this and others, there's no discussion about the rights or the wrongs of that, and for me there are no rights.
The mainstream media does not cover any issue of any substance at all anymore in both America, which is my home country, and the UK, which I've lived in for 13 years.
Jonathan, if I had a fiver, if I had 20 pence for every time somebody said that to me, we might not be sitting here.
You've got the biggest listenership in Europe, and God bless you, I hope it grows and grows. And, you know, maybe before they pass the fake news laws that outlaw any show like yours, which they're scrambling to do.
Can I ask you a question on fake news?
Yes.
Paul Craig Roberts was on the program last night, and...
Yes.
John Rappaport. Now, John Rappaport said, love John, great guy. He said, isn't it extraordinary, Richie, that you have a president for the first time ever attacking a bent and a corrupt news organisation? Now, of course it's extraordinary. Of course it's a great thing on the one hand, because these guys are liars. But there's a danger there that nobody else is seeing. By Trump, but no president, no... head of state anywhere in the world should get to decide what is and what isn't fake news. That's very dangerous, that.
Oh, yeah, I agree, and I was going to come to that exact point.
Yeah, and nobody's saying that today.
No, that's exactly what I was saying, is, yeah, Trump calling CNN fake news, ha, ha, ha. It's interesting to see a president call out the media when none of them before have done so, but it's not really the president's job to call out the media.
No, Jonathan, because in the future, a news organization can come to Trump with very damaging allegations about him that might be true, and there might be a human interest, a public interest side to this, and Trump gets to say in a very aggressive way, you're fake news, you're crap, you're all of this, I'm not going to speak with you. This is the danger of it. I'm not going to answer these allegations.
Well, you know, I don't think RT is going to be invited to the press conference, if you get my drift. I'm surprised that RT made it to the press conferences they made it to under the Obama administration.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the RT people and how they're treated. And you see them ask these pointed questions of American military officials, and the military officials literally stagger around for 7 minutes trying to figure out what to say.
Jonathan, we have another caller who's going to join us. Caller, welcome to the program. Who have we got? Who's on the line?
Hello, Richie. I'm Alex Dowse. I tweet you quite a lot.
Alex, welcome to the show. Say hello to Jonathan.
Hi, Alex.
Jonathan.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Alex, you have the floor, my friend. You've obviously been listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was originally going to talk to you about homelessness a little bit, but
please do.
Everything that's going on in America.
No, please do. Homelessness is far more important than anything we're talking about at the moment.
Well, see, that's kind of my idea of it, is because I listen to your show pretty much every day, and you always talk about really interesting things. I don't always agree with them, but I always try to go with it in an open mind. But the things that really matter to a lot of people are things like the NHS and homelessness and things like that. I mean, I've been homeless for a while. I've slept when it's really very cold. I've had to get fires going and things. And I know that it is things like that that people really do care about. And that's, for me at least, that just seems to be what wakes them up to see that there is something going on and there's an agenda behind it.
Do you think, Alex, that maybe we don't focus enough on stuff like that?
No, I'd say yes.
Yeah, you might have a point there. You might have a point there. We don't spend a lot of time talking about these issues. Not
really,
these days.
But you tend to go a little bit... You take to sort of go a step behind it. You know, you look at the people in the dark suits at the top who are making the decisions, but maybe not always what the consequences of it are, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, if I may interject here, gentlemen, the thing I was really wanting to call and talk about in an existential sense was... Where on earth are we, the people, going to get back the power that we've surrendered to these banksters and stuff that are making people homeless? I mean, how do we, there seems to be no process for regaining power for the people. There's no process in place.
Go ahead, Alex.
I used to be in quite a lot of activist circles. And, you know, in the early days, there used to be protests. There'd be, you know, people would be posted on Facebook, it can get down here at this time, this date, and all that sort of thing. But now, it seems to have completely been taken over by this sort of sign this online petition thing.
Yeah,
which to me, it just feels like it's sort of a way of keeping you at home and making you feel like you've done something, when actually all that's happening is some politician gets a piece of paper on the desk that says 1,000 people have signed this.
Yeah.
And they can just push it to one side and say, I don't care.
Well, absolutely. And I think with every single social human issue, whereby what it always comes down to is an equitable and fair redistribution of wealth. And the politicians and the power structure that exists has shown us time and time again, they have absolutely no interest in redistributing wealth in any way that will help people who have nothing.
Let me ask you both a question, because you know that a lot of our listeners will... I consider myself a bit of a champagne socialist. I'm not going to lie about it. I am. You know, I don't have a lot, but I have a reasonably comfortable life. And yet, you know, I would find myself sympathising with the Tony Benns of this world and people like that. But when we say things like redistribution of wealth, when we say things like we have to put salary caps on the big CEOs of major corporations... That's been discussed this week as well. A lot of our listeners, people whom I like now, but I disagree with, they completely panic and they say, well, this is outrageous. This is a tyranny in and of itself. It's a tyranny to be telling people what they can get paid in companies, to be telling people that we're going to come and take your wealth and give it to somebody else. Now, you know that the Jeff Berwicks of this world and others have been on this programme. They hate this idea. Alex, what do you think?
Well, there was a story just a couple of days ago. I think it's the EpiPen people. Obviously, they put their price up by like $100 for an EpiPen to $600 or something. And there was this video that went viral of the CEO being asked what she'd done to deserve an increase from, you know, I think it was $3 million that she got to something like $16 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when people are getting paid outrageous sums of money like that, I absolutely agree with it. You know, there is such a thing as too much. You know, I do agree with the idea that if you are a doctor, if you're doing a skilled job, you should get more money. But at the same time, there seems to be a lot of money at the top and very little at the bottom.
Jonathan, let's get Jonathan. Jonathan, what do you think of that?
Well, I agree completely with Alex. I mean, there is no systemic or institutional flow that allows, really the problem I think stems with a lack of direct democracy. We are not being allowed to vote on where our tax money goes, and that goes to the root of the problem of fiat currency and fractional reserve banking, whereby the governments, we've lost control of our governments because the governments no longer need our tax money, really. They just borrow what they want from the banks and promise to pay it back without us paying the interest.
That's right.
So we're like paying the VIG for our own government, and they're running wild, doing whatever they want, putting through Trident missile programs while there's homeless people in the streets. And where do we get to vote on where the money goes? I mean, you should have a checklist of social programs, and you should vote every year on, okay, I want to fund this, I want to fund this, I want to fund this. And frankly, you should not have to put your taxes into programs you don't like. I wouldn't pay a penny for Trident. I don't want to nuke anybody, especially as a response to them nuking me.
Let me just put something to both of you. I'll ask Alex first. Now, this is true. One of the things I have never done in my time as a producer or a presenter is told a lie. What I'm going to tell you is true. My accounts are done by a firm in Manchester, in the north of Manchester. And I was chatting with my accountant the other day because the end of the month is the deadline for 2015-2016, got to get the receipts in and all of that and do it properly. So I said to my accountant, I said, look, I wonder if I could figure out the portion of the taxes I pay that is used by the government to either fund bombing campaigns in Syria or elsewhere, anything that goes to the British military. I wonder, could I find out what percentage that is, if it's 2% of my taxes or 3%. I wonder, could I take that money, put it in an account, leave it there, and then stick two fingers up to HMRC and say, listen, here's my taxes, but I'm withholding this amount because it's used to kill people. Now, that's, for me, that's a damn sight better than some of the lunatic ideas we've heard from people, just stop paying your taxes, which is ultimately going to result in you being thrown in jail.
Exactly.
Unless everybody does it. So withholding that percentage of your taxes, Alex, what do you think of that as an idea?
I mean, I like the idea. You know, I absolutely love the idea of sticking the middle finger up to them and saying, I'm not paying for you to blow up innocent people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know about you, but whenever I end up paying taxes, it's on my mind that you've just paid, you know, you just paid for a little bit of a missile or something that's going to be used on someone.
Yep.
But at the same time, you just know that you would need to sort of have that as a huge movement with lots of people doing it to force the media to cover it, to force more people to look at it and realize that it's going on. Because if it's just little, you know, little groups of people who are trying it, they'll just crush you. They'll come down on you like 10 tons of bricks.
And of course, tax evasion, Jonathan, is not a civil matter. It's a criminal matter. So when they send the bailiffs around, you can't do what I did a few months ago, which is tell the bailiff to go and take a running jump. Because if it's a tax matter, they'll break the door down and they will take your stuff. So I'm not advising anybody to do anything because that is the ultimate reality of it. But I'm thinking very strongly of doing it.
Well, you know, I would love to see that if you have the time and energy to do that, what the result is. But I think the evolution of democracy is headed exactly down the road of direct democracy. And what will happen is somebody will form an organization and ask everyone in the UK to voluntarily contribute £10 a month. And can you imagine what a political organization could do if the sole purpose of it was to be a shadow government that the government had no control over and everybody was voluntarily funding it, and basically they run candidates and the candidates have to stick to the platform of direct democracy. So basically the people get to vote on where their tax money goes, and eventually you have in place such a powerful political entity that no candidate can run and be elected in the country unless they're supported by the direct democracy platform.
Let's give Alex the final word on that, and then I'm going to move on. Alex, go ahead.
Well, I agree with Jonathan, to be honest with you. You know, we absolutely don't have anywhere near enough control over what our governments are doing at the moment. I mean, there's absolute outrage over where I am. I'm in a little town called Scunthorpe, and we're one of the people who've got an NHS with 4-hour waiting periods. They were turning people away the other day. They had to go for a 45-minute drive to another accident and emergency department. So over here, there is absolute anger at the government, but it just somewhere along the line, it doesn't translate into action. And we need to try and find a way to make that happen, because people do need to get more involved. Otherwise, they're just going to keep piling this stuff on us until we're absolutely crushed.
Yes.
Brilliant stuff. Jonathan and Alex, thanks for calling in. That was brilliant.
You,
I really enjoyed that. Look after yourselves, both of you. Have
you
a great
much.
Weekend, eh?
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Richie. Good night.
Great stuff. Lovely stuff. Alex and Jonathan there calling in. We got through a variety of topics there. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, there are people queuing up, lining up to talk to us tonight, which is lovely, considering this was thrown together very quickly, wasn't it? It was kind of thrown together very quickly at the last minute. So a quick break. When we come back, plenty more. The Global Phone-In on the Richie Allen Show in association with davidike.com. You can Skype chat with Richie. That's very simple. Chat with Richie. Or you can phone 0161 408 2017. Outside the country, plus 44 161 408 2017.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Welcome back. The global phone in. The phone number is +44 161 408 2017, or you can Skype chat with Richie. Doesn't get any simpler. Hi to Dean Smith and to JP, who says love sitting back and listening to people around the country, around the world, and their take on events, proving we have more in common than ever. Now Martin Noakes tweets, the redistribution of wealth even is now impossible because the 1% have everything and they're not going to give it away. They're not going to give it away. And there's no doubt about that. And I agree with it 100%. Les tweets, most people don't realise how much of a money gap there is between the middle class and the rich. Yeah, keep those tweets coming in. At Richie Allen Show, richie@richieallen.co.uk. The time is exactly 29 minutes to the top of the hour. So, remember, chat with Richie on Skype. It's 0161 408 2017. That's 0161 408 2017. Couldn't be simpler. Angela joins us live. Angela, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Richie. How are you? I'm okay. Thank you. It's snowing here in Folkestone.
Is it? First of all, we'll talk about the snow in a second. First of all, apologies. I should have by now had a chat with you about something else, and I am going to do that. I'm one of the worst organisers in the world, me. Angela's an interesting lady, and I want to maybe get her on the show in the future to talk about things that she's interested in and books that she's written, and we'll do that in the future, no doubt. But thanks for listening tonight. What would you like to talk about, Angela? The floor is yours.
Well, I've got a few things I would like to talk about that are really troubling me. I've been following David Icke's work for the past 20 years, a bit on and off because I haven't been living in the country all this time. I'm Italian. I went to London in 1995. Then I left the country. And, you know, just to make it short, I've come back 5 years ago. So I started to read David Icke again. And most of the things that he's written, they've come to pass. And for example, I'm reading now Phantom Self, and he's talking about the war against homeless people. And we've started a petition now because Shapway Council wants to find homeless people that sleep and eat in the public places.
They want to fine them, Angela. They want to actually hand out fines to somebody who's sleeping rough, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy. These people need to be helped. I'm aware that some of them just want to take advantage. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to work. But I've spoken to a few of them, and they have health problems. They really want to get out. And I think, you know, if it happened to me, you know, I would like somebody to help me, you know, to go back to my 2 feet. Not somebody that comes there and just tells me to pay with what money, I don't know. Because if I sleep rough, you know, I don't have any money.
How could you have any money, Angela? Exactly. How could you pay the fine? Yeah.
Okay, so that's one thing that he wrote and I'm seeing happening home here, you know, not far away. I'm aware that in Tampa, I think it's in Florida, in the US anyway, they're doing the same. They're putting volunteers to jail because they want, because they're feeding homeless people in the park. So it's crazy. It's really crazy. But the other thing I'd like to talk about is the curriculum of my daughter. She's in year six. Okay, as I said,
Angela, tell us, some of our listeners won't understand year six. Does that mean that she's 10, 11 years old?
Yes, it's the last year in her primary school.
So her final year in primary school. Go ahead.
Yes, so she's 11. Okay, so this year she's been studying World War I. And one of the things she meant to discuss, and from what I've understood, she hasn't yet, and I don't think they're going to do it anymore because it meant to do to be in the beginning of the, you know, in the first term, so around September, October, November. We're talking about the role of the troops again in war, and especially terrorism. I'm just trying to find again where it's it's written, because of course I can't find it now.
Don't worry, Angela, take your time. We have all the time in the world, as Louis Armstrong once sang, we've plenty of time. So your daughter is 11, she's in year
yes.
six, and they're discussing the role of British troops in the world, and they're talking about terrorism.
Yes, I found it.
Right.
So, role of the armed forces in modern day, including fighting against terrorism, extremism, home and abroad. I wonder, we have trouble in discussing that, and we are, you know, adults. We have different opinions, we have different sources. How can an 11-year-old have a clue?
I would agree with that. Angela, tell me, are the 11-year-olds being asked to express an opinion on it? Are they being asked to give their thoughts on terrorism and on the army?
I didn't speak to the teacher. I was waiting for her to discuss that in class, so I would find out how she would handle that. But it hasn't happened yet, because I keep on asking every day. My daughter is so fed up with that.
Yeah.
And of course, I did show her Hillary Clinton speaking in Congress, admitting that they created Al Qaeda and so on. So she's aware.
Good for you. Good for you, Angela.
You know, she's a bit fed up with that, but never mind. I do it for her own good.
She's a bit fed up with you telling her these things, or right? Okay.
Yes. Can you imagine? She's 11. Okay, she cares, but not that much. She's got other things more important in her life.
Of course. Boys, music, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And that's good, you know. She shouldn't think about terrorism at 11.
No, but you know what, Angela? If the schools are trying to influence children and make them think about these things, well, you, obviously, if I were you, I'd feel that you need to present, you know, the alternative point of view. So I totally understand you doing what you're doing.
Mm. Who could argue? I just want to bring it up here to make the other listeners aware of what's happening in our schools. You know, it's the programming is happening. And I mean, they're very busy at school, so maybe they won't touch on it, but it's on the curriculum.
What will be interesting now, Angela, is next time there's a parent-teacher meeting, and if you know, very subtly, and I think the Italians and the Irish have got a great similarity, we don't do subtle very well. So it might be a struggle for you, but no, I mean, as her mum, you're entitled to ask in a gentle, in a nice way, why are you talking about these subjects? They're 11. They should be having the time of their lives. They should be enjoying themselves, right?
I will. And to tell you the truth, they know me already in her school, because I've been subtle, you know. I don't like to barge in, especially because I'm an alien in this country. So
you're certainly not an alien.
I want to find out what happens and what are the rules first. And then I just, then, you know.
Well, do me a favor, Angela. When you do that, we'll be delighted for you to come back on the program and share that with us, because a lot of our listeners will be very interested in it. Now, there are loads of calls coming in. I don't want to brush you off, so I want to ask you one thing. Because you're Italian and you described yourself as an alien, you're not an alien. What?
Well, that's what they say, you know, alien office.
That's right. What have you thought about the referendum back in June and the UK's decision to leave the European Union? How have you felt about all of that? I've put you on the spot now.
Independence Day.
You think it's a good idea to leave the European Union, right?
Yes, of course. And loads of my friends in Italy, they want to leave the European Union as well.
Because it's destroyed Italy, hasn't it?
It has destroyed Italy. We used to be a wealthy country. And now it's a disaster after disaster. Everybody's leaving the country, and who can't? They're crying, really. Because Renzi, thank God, is gone, but he promised the world. I didn't like him because he betrayed his own, the prime minister of the time, Letta, and he was from his own party. I kept on telling him, don't worry, we'll support you. And in the meantime, in the background, he did everything. And at the end, he got him kicked out of office. But then he did the same. He didn't protect Italian's interests.
No.
And also, a video, I can't find it back now. It was on Facebook. And there was a very important economist that took part in the dealings between Italy and Germany before the introduction of the euro. And the terms for Italy to enter the eurozone was to deindustrialize the country.
That's right.
And it happened. So I don't know if the guy who said that, you know, was telling the truth. But I saw what happened. So,
and everything of worth in Italy, the national state assets, like Ireland and Portugal, have been sold to multinational companies and corporations to pay a debt that the Italian people don't owe to anybody and the Irish people don't owe to anybody. It's incredible. I've never met anybody from Italy who disagreed with you. Anybody I've ever spoken to, they say the same thing. The European Union was a disaster for Italy. But you know, Angela, you know, you've been reading David, and I'm sure you've read other people as well. It wasn't an accident. It was by design. It's exactly the way it was meant to happen, sadly.
Yeah, exactly.
I want you to come back on when you speak to the school about the, you know, the terrorism talk and that. And I'd love to hear what they say to you. Angela, thanks for coming on the programme. I'll be in touch with you real soon, I promise. And I really enjoyed chatting with you.
I hope so.
No, I will be. And thanks for coming on. I really enjoyed the chat.
Me too. Thank you, Richie.
Thank you, Angela. Lovely Angela there, originally from Italy, of course. She's living down south now, where they're getting a lot of bad weather. On the Global Phone-In on the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. The numbered call is +44 161 408 2017. If you're in the UK, 0161 408 2017, or simply Skype chat with Richie. Couldn't be any simpler than that. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, it's Mark from Gloucestershire.
Mark from Gloucestershire, how are you?
I'm very well, Richie. How are you?
I'm well, mate. Thanks. Are you getting snowed under, Mark?
We were, but it's sort of settled down a bit now, which is lucky, because I had a three-hour drive up from the south and I didn't think I was going to get home. I live on quite high ground in the countryside, but it was all right.
Well, I'm glad, mate. I'm glad. I'm not a nervous driver, personally, but I can't stand that sort of weather and conditions. I'd be a nervous wreck. So I'm glad you made it.
I had a bit of that on the M5, a bit of blizzard, and it's not nice. You just get that fear and you just think, am I going to get home? I'm not sure.
Well as that, it's not just that fear. You have the fear of, we know that 70% of those who use the motorways are lunatics. Well, they are, Mark. They're driving over the speed limit. They're lunatics. And in bad weather, they don't think to slow down just a little bit.
Well, okay, Rich, I'm going to sound like an old man here, but they also, they use their indicators as celebrators. So they turn and they celebrate the turn by hitting the indicator. That's what annoys me. They're called indicators for a reason.
Do you know what? I'm worse, because I've only just returned back to the roads after a three nearly 3.5 year break from driving. People keep asking me, oh, did you get banned? And no, I never got banned at all. It's a long and boring story. But yeah, I'm back on the roads, and yeah, I've turned into Mr. Grumpy very quickly. But I don't gesticulate, I don't swear, and I don't scream at people, and I don't beep the horn.
But do you, when you overtake them, when they've been holding you up, do you have a look in the window, though, to see what they look like?
I'm the ultimate, I'm Grandpa Simpson behind the wheel. I don't overtake. I actually don't overtake. I drive it at a steady 55 on the motorway, in the left lane, and only if I absolutely have to, do I overtake, because I'm a relaxed, I'm a guy who loves driving, so I love to put cruise control on, put a bit of music on, and chill out. I know people say he's such a bullshitter, he's painting himself out to be a saint, but I am. When I first drove, I was a bastard now, in terms of, I wouldn't bully people, and I wouldn't, but I would be complaining all the time. These days, I just relax, chill out, and enjoy the ride.
Well, I think you're right, and I drive for my job, but I've now embraced the warmth of podcasts. I think once you embrace the podcast culture, you can enjoy the journey a little bit more, and it's not just about getting there.
Hey, Mark, I've heard a lot of people are not reading books anymore, but they're buying the audio versions of books and doing that in the car on long journeys, which I find fascinating.
I think that's good, but I think even better is this. I've did this previously, and when I've had to do a lot of driving, is you book yourself a holiday for like 2 years time in, say, Italy, and you use the time to listen to learn Italian sort of stuff, like the Jean-Michel, Michel Thomas stuff, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can actually learn the language just sitting there in the car, and you've got a holiday in a couple of years to look forward to. It's a nice thing to do.
It's a pretty nice thing to do. Now, just before you say what it is you came on to say, I just want to point out there are 4 or 5 different people trying to call. Hang on a couple of minutes. I'm going to have a chat with Mark. Maybe towards when Mark is kind of coming to conclude, I'll bring somebody on. We'll have a bit of a three-way. So just hang on a second. And just plenty of time. We're on till 10 p.m. GMT. Mark, go ahead, my friend. What would you like to say?
Well, I suppose it's quite a simple one, really. I mean, I totally agree with what Martin Noakes actually just said about the fact that the elites are not going to be releasing any control. But I suppose my bit is slightly around that. I follow yourself and David, and I like We Are Change, various sort of other places, and I think that there is this, without question, this awakening that's been happening over the last sort of three years or so, and it always prompts questions. Well, what are you going to do? Well, what happens? Where do we go? How do we affect change? And I know David gets challenged with that question quite a lot, and I think one of the things that strikes me as a sort of a history graduate, and I studied American history, and you look at the conditions for revolution, if you like, and what it takes to do it. And it strikes me very much that we are so much in a child-parent relationship now with the state, is that we're just not really in an equipped position to do very much about it. I mean, what would happen if all of a sudden there wasn't food in the supermarkets? What actually would we do? I mean, I live in a very rural area. With a spring water, it's slightly different. We grow a few vegetables in the garden and so on. But if you look back in the American Revolution, for example, the vast majority of people were growing vegetables. There were communities growing food, catching food, and they had an ongoing supply of sustenance that could, was flexible enough to deal with that scenario. But I feel that the situation we're in now, we're so almost like a child with the state of the parent, that these skills have been taken away from us. I mean, we don't even use maps anymore. We use sat-nav. And I think that, I'm not trying to be defeatist, because I think that there is a solution. I think that perhaps it would be useful if we started to get in more of a community mindset and look at how we could work together. It doesn't matter if you live in a city or you live out where I do in the countryside. It's about almost, in my mind, almost like the old clan style technique. You know, people look after the people around each other. You try and get some local food and try and look after the people in your community and almost be prepared, I suppose.
Does that need to begin, Mark, with something that came up on the programme last year, with individuals getting away from this mindset? I was speaking to a friend of mine called Michael Cohen today. Michael was in the studio a few weeks back, sitting with me, listening to a programme. And Michael is one of the nicest men you could ever wish to meet. He's a real neighbourhood community guy. He's not a busybody. He's just a gentleman who does things for people. And he was very sad today when I spoke with him. And we were talking about a neighbour has just moved into the area, and they're very standoffish. They're very reluctant to get involved with anybody or to acknowledge anybody. And I suppose you have to, respect if that's the way they want to be. But he was very saddened by it. And he said, some of the things you said along the lines of what you said there. Do we need then to start making an effort, that individual tiny acts like going to people and bringing them something that you've cooked, for example, inviting them over to have a chat, not to have a beer, you know, everything has to be drink, you know, screw alcohol, put alcohol to one side. Why don't you come over, let's have a conversation, let's have a chat, you and your wife or you and your husband or whatever. Do we need to start doing little things like that?
I think we do. I mean, in a really small way. I mean, we've got lucky enough in our garden. We rent the place, but we've got three fruit trees, and like every year there's fruit that comes from the garden, and you know you've got a load of apples, and you go round to, you know, there's a lady who lives a few doors down, and you say, would you like some apples? And it is as simple as that. And I think that, and I go hark again back to the old sort of clan system. My family is an old sort of Scottish family. And there would never be a case that Mrs. Jones at number 10 would be burgled or broken into or forgotten about, because everyone would know that she's there, and everyone would know, you know, that she's around. And I don't think it's bleak. There was that lovely example recently in the media about the lady who had been going to the same cafe or restaurant every day for her glass of wine. And when she didn't show up for 2 days, the girl who worked in the restaurant went to find her, and she found the woman was injured in the bath and had been in the bath for 2 days, and she saved her life. And it was an example of somebody looking out for someone in their community who they created this connection with, and she literally saved her life. And so I don't think all is lost at all. I just think that we need to be conscious of it, and just as you say, the little things make a big difference.
That's a brilliant sentiment, Mark. It really is. Yeah, I mean, I one of the things that I'm really thrilled about is hearing people come on the program to say to me, and this is privately, not coming on the air, but sending us messages to say, you know, I was in the city the other day, and you know, I heard you talking about being on a bus, Richie, and you know, everybody staring straight ahead and using their tablets, and people won't talk to one another. But I'm hearing from people now who are starting this. I don't know if it'll ever become like the ice bucket challenge, which is a load of nonsense. But if people will starting conversations with random strangers on buses and on trains, on long distance journeys, and you know, forming, you know, tentative friendships with people. I mean, I went to a funeral just before, not long before Christmas. Aaron Callan's mother passed away, a remarkable woman, and I was taking a bus from Manchester city centre to Bury, which is about an hour's drive, and I was sitting on the bus. I felt a bit stupid because I was wearing nice clothes, a jacket and shirt and that, and I was sitting on the bus, and it was dreadful, and I said, to hell with this, I'm going to start a conversation. And I ended up in a remarkably wonderful and interesting conversation with a gentleman sitting across from me, and I thought, let's not be the way we're expected to be, let's start conversations. And even if somebody looks at you like you're insane because you've started a conversation with a stranger, just play one anyway.
Richie, I think you're right, and I think that one of the things that worries me, and I've got two young children, and I'm really sort of cautious about this, I think lighted screens, be it phones or be it iPads or be it any sort of tablets, are designed to make you look down and look into this small lighted space. And everybody's doing that, everyone's looking down, but the world is huge and it's vast. We should be looking up. We should be looking up, looking around, and looking at the people around us. And I was lucky enough to do all sort of Paul McKenna's courses, all the NLP and hypnosis things, and I do a little bit of hypnotherapy. And I talk to a lot of people of anxiety. And one of the things that I always say to them is, right, okay, over the next year, try and see 6 sunrises, 6 sunsets. And see how you feel, because people are just losing that their heads are down and they're not looking up and they're not tuning into those sort of cycles which are natural to us, and they help us. And then, you funnily enough, you find things like anxiety melt away. And I think on the micro level, it's exactly the same on the bus. Everyone's got their head down on the tube, everyone's looking to a lighted screen, but if you just lift your head up and look around, there's people there.
And you'll see beautiful things happening, won't you? You'll see wonderful things. I mean, even on the most horrible journey, the most horrible commute to work in the pissing rain in the dark, you know, and I've done this. I have a very, very nice job now. You know, I don't have to do that sort of thing, but I used to do it. We've all done it. But if you do look around you, and if you do pay attention to what's going on, and you do engage people, it changes things. It really does, even for yourself, and even if only for one other person.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Mark, yeah, you're a tonic, mate. Thanks for that. Glad you made it home as well, by the way.
Thank you.
And stay calm on the roads, even though it's not easy.
Oh, I know. All right,
lovely to chat with you.
Your shows. Love it. Listen every day.
You're a gentleman. Thanks for supporting it, Mark. Cheers. Bye for now. Mark there from Gloucestershire on the line to us there. And glad he made it home too. Yeah, if you are driving in the south of the country, and there is snow and visibility is difficult. This might sound like a pathetic lectury, not that that is a word type thing to say, but take it easy. Take it easy. Relax. You know, concentrate fully on the road, but put the radio, put a bit of music on. Relax, slow down. Keep a bit of distance between you and the car in front of you. You know, it's in these types of conditions that people die on the roads, you know. Why die? There's so much to live for, as Mark said there. The global phone-in at 5.5 minutes to the top of the hour. I missed a lot of calls there. In fact, I tried to take one or two on to come on and chat with Mark and myself, but for some reason, it didn't work for me. But I've never been the most technically proficient man in the world. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who's on the line there?
This is Cliff speaking. How you doing?
Cliff, I'm very well, mate. Where are you calling from?
I'm phoning from Colchester, or near Colchester.
Fantastic. So you're probably not getting the worst of the weather then?
No, it's actually clear. It was snowing earlier, and it's thawed out and gone away again, thank goodness.
Marvellous. So it's freezing cold, but at least the snow is gone.
Yeah. No problems with the driving at the moment. So.
Great stuff, Cliff. Cliff, thanks for calling, mate. Lovely to hear from you. What would you like to talk about?
Well, first of all, what it is I think you've got a great show. I'm fairly new to all this. Basically, my little journey of enlightenment started probably about 9 or 10 months ago, prior to Brexit, and I started to research. I came across various things, made my decision based upon getting out of the EU because of its because of reasons that you've discussed in this week, and absolutely agree with that. And then it kind of went on to the US election. I found InfoWars, and then I found you. So, as you said not so long ago, yeah, it seems to be very Trump orientated now, InfoWars, and I'm looking for balance, and I think I've found it in your show. So I have to thank you for your show. I think it's wonderful. I can't get enough of it. I listen on podcasts, and you name it, I try and listen to it, and I'm looking at your back catalogue at the moment.
Cliff, so you're very kind to say that. I really, really do appreciate that. Look, I have very definite opinions, and I do express them. I'm no angel. But what we do on the programme, and I'm so glad you said it, is we always get the view that differs to my view, always. And when that view comes on, those people are given, you know, license to put across those points, and you've got to do that, and I'm proud of that. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I definitely have a very definite world view, and maybe sometimes I'm maybe a bit over the top in expressing it, but we definitely seek balance. And it's disappointing that, you know, some researchers and some content creators who have done some remarkably brilliant things in the past have now gone a kind of 180 degree turn and have now thrown their weight in behind a politician. That's sad, but at the same time, I suppose you can't take away from the great things they did in the past. Which, tell me, Cliff, I'm fascinated when I speak with people who voted, first of all, who voted in the referendum, and of course then people who voted to leave. Did you encounter any resistance amongst your peers, your family, your friends? Was anybody saying, oh, little England are here, and any of that? What was it like when you were talking to people about what way you were going to vote?
Well, I have family that live in London, and it seemed like they, amongst many other people in London, were voting to stay in. And the looks of, oh, you're voting out, oh, you know. But other than that, I personally didn't get anything. It was a discussion. You know, the art of discussion, thankfully, in my family and amongst friends is still there, thank goodness. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case in one of my nephews. His partner, who in her particular company, it was almost for people that expressed that they were going to vote out, they kind of got bullied and were forced to kind of resign. I mean, it was horrendous stories. And that's part of the reason I phoned, actually. Insofar as I've realised, only, I mean, my age is, I'm 57 years of age now. And I've been just someone who works and keeps my head down, does what most people probably do, and just, you know, kids and all the rest of it over the years. And I must admit, I took my eye off the political ball. And in this last year, I've gone through the process of realising that things aren't what I thought they were, to the point where I've, you know, when the coin dropped, it's, my God, you know, what the hell is going on? You know, almost shock. Well, not almost, it was shock. So I've come out of that now, and I think, excuse the language, you've done a bit tonight, I'll do a little bit, which is, I don't like people taking the piss. And I believe that's what the crew that are behind the scenes pulling all the strings are doing out of all of us ordinary folk. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm at war. You know, not in the physical sense, but, you know, they need to be pushed back. The trouble is that what I've encountered, and I think your previous caller kind of touched the subject as well, is I think people think I'm nuts. Basically,
Cliff, I was just going to ask you that. Of course, that was my next question. What sort of reaction are you getting again from those who you know well that you're paying attention to, InfoWars, you're listening to the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com and others? I'm sure you've had, you know, you've had some reactions to that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've had people telling me I should get out more, and I test things on Facebook, you know, through, you know, Facebook friends, and I've tried to present facts as I know them, and the message, they just don't want to see it. And so going forward as in terms of a strategy, because we need a strategy, don't we? You know, I'm not educated enough, I guess, to know quite what to do and how to do it. But what I've found is people are either too busy or the program's been so strong that they totally dismiss anything that's different to their program. You know,
yeah, the cognitive dissonance, we call it, don't we?
That's it. So, I mean, I wondered, if I may ask, you know, what your experiences are with all this, because you must have started somewhere, and wondered kind of what responses you got and what experiences you have had in order for people like me that are fairly new to all this to try and break that spell in others, to try and get them to see another way. Yeah, not I don't like using the word brainwash, but I believe that they've been brainwashed, and once someone's brainwashed, it's very, very difficult to turn them to a different view. It really is.
Well, I reported, Cliff, I reported on September the 11th for commercial radio. I reported on it live as it was happening, and like every other commercial producer and presenter in the world, we took information from the Associated Press and others and told people at the end of the day, and literally at the end of the day, late in the afternoon on September the 11th, that Osama bin Laden was behind it and all of this. My big wake-up call was reading David Icke's book, Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster, and I read it about 3 years after September the 11th. I think David published it 18 months or so after. Now, I read it, and while I was reading it, I was very embarrassed. I was embarrassed that there were so many anomalies, there were so many wrongs about the story, so many things that didn't add up. And these are things that we should have seen on, not only on the day, but in the weeks afterwards, we should have been asking questions. And we should have been, at times, we should have been incredibly critical of the information coming from the White House and from London. But we weren't, Cliff. And I was profoundly embarrassed by that. And that kind of changed my life then. And then I started hearing about other, you know, I heard about Alex in Texas. I heard about people like Jeff Rentz and Caravan to Midnight and all these programs in America. I just started following those programs. I heard about Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver, whose wife was murdered by the ATF while holding her baby for nothing, for no good reason other than they decided to walk away from, you know, public life and live in the mountains. And that's the truth, by the way. All these little things. And I started to think, you know, Jesus, the world is far, far different than I ever thought it was. And just that's where my journey began. As for talking to friends and family, I never really did that, really. I have a very, very tiny family. And the only people I'm really close to in my family, I suppose, still are my aunts and maybe an uncle and maybe one or two cousins. And they're kind of bemused by it. Some of them are interested in it. But other than that, my old schoolmates, who I'm still in touch with, they just don't care one way or the other. But it's more interesting people like you, really, Cliff, than me, you know, because I'm a thick-skinned Irish guy. I don't care what people say so much, but I understand I'm in the minority. I understand that for a lot of people it's very difficult, you know, when oh, that's crazy stuff, you know. Ah, Cliff, that's rubbish, Cliff, get out more. It's not easy to hear that, you know. So I don't really have any advice other than always stay calm. Leave some information around for people to pick up if they want. Don't be dogmatic about it, and don't try and coerce them into reading or looking at something they don't want to. Sometimes you have to be patient, Cliff. But that's who am I to say, you know?
Yeah. So in terms of information, I mean, I say I'm on this journey. I just haven't got enough background knowledge. You know, I mean, I can talk about pyramids and genetic wheels from Klaus Doner, and you know, and all the stuff that I've heard, you know, through your program, of late or recently. But in terms of kind of, I don't know, presenting information to people if they're interested, would you say it? And I'm thinking strategy. That's where I'm thinking. I'm thinking, because people go, oh, they're all rubbish, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all know weapons of mass destruction were a total lie. We know that, you know, and people will recognise that. If you talk to them, oh yeah, that weapons of mass destruction. But as soon as you talk about anything else, it's, oh, what do you mean? That's not correct. You know, that's like old rubbish. So I'm after pearls of wisdom that I can present if the time's right to people to say, look at this, look at that, look at that, look at that. You can't argue with it. You see what I mean?
Well, Cliff, if you just want to hang on just for a second, I do have loads of calls to get through, but I'm happy for you to stay with me for a couple of minutes. If somebody, if somebody's got an answer for Cliff there, call the show. It's 01614082017. That's 01614082017. It couldn't be easier. Or you can Skype. It's chat with Skype. We can connect everybody. If you've got an answer for Cliff, you know, what sort of strategy would you employ in a bid to try and communicate this information with people who mean something to you, people whom you're fond of, your family, your friends? How do you get them interested in it? I'd love to know what your advice would be for Cliff. Faisal has joined us. Faisal, welcome. How are you, my friend?
Hi. I'm just hang on. Getting this right so I can hear you. Yep.
You're just adjusting your microphone. Well, first of all, say hi to Cliff.
Hi, Cliff. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm very well, Faisal. How about yourself? You good?
Yeah, I was just listening to you and thinking, I've been kind of doing this for a long time. My friends and family have been thinking of me as nuts since, I don't know, the 80s, late 80s or early 90s. And recently, it's been a lot easier for me because I don't have to actually explain anything to them anymore or preach to them. I can just ask them questions now. Things like with the Russian hacks, it's so ridiculous that you don't have to actually explain to them what's ridiculous about it. You can just ask them, you know, to explain why they believe this, because they usually can't. And then they're struggling with an emotional reaction. What I've been getting lately is, I think earlier this year I was asking my family in Switzerland about Trump, and they just yelled around and kind of, oh my God, Trump's terrible and all this, and you just got this emotional reaction. But once you started asking them concrete questions, they couldn't really answer what they knew about Hillary and you know, what made them think that Trump was worse than any other president that's actually ever been, when you pinned them down on it. And to then just leave it's actually quite hard to do, to kind of get to make yourself leave it once you've asked some questions. But that's often better than preaching to them these days, because the news is doing our job for us. It's giving them stories that just don't make sense.
What do you think, Cliff?
Yeah, I I agree with what Faisal said. What I found, though, is that, and I was this person, say, 10 months ago, is because I'd never realised that the BBC was actually, as I've heard the pun, the British brainwashing company. I didn't realise that. And so I would naively take for granted what was being said. And if I wasn't presented with an alternative, you know, which perhaps don't have to be current, but you know, even historic stuff. You know, if there's something substantial where we all, and I can't think of them, but, you know, because I keep saying it, I'm new to this. But if there's something substantial historically that you could say, well, look at this, look at that. Now, and of course, now I keep up to date with what garbage is coming out the telly, and I now give the running commentary on the news, as I'm told.
Of course, yeah.
You know, yeah, that's a load of old rubbish, Syria. Look, this is what's really happening and all the rest of it. So because I'm up to date a little bit easier, a bit more now, it's a bit easier for me, but still people don't quite accept. And that's the thing is, because We've collectively got a lot of work to do. Let's face it. I mean, this has been going on for generations, and the power of the program is such that it's going to be hard to turn it around without question. So I think, did you say in earlier shows, Richie, that you're going to talk about how to kind of enlighten people going forward? Is that what you've got planned going forward? Did I hear you say that?
Yeah, it's always on the agenda, Cliff, you know, to find out, to kind of... You use the great word strategy to try and determine and come up with new ways. Faisal has been listening to the programme a long time, so he'll know that when we came up with the idea for this programme, David came up with the idea for it, and he said, go and do the programme. I'm going to have nothing to do with the editorial of it. I'll just stream it. But I want you to think of ways to get people interested in the show, like you, Cliff, people who wouldn't ordinarily hear it. And the way our strategy was to try and sound as mainstream as possible, to be polished, and to do radio as you would hear radio on your local commercial radio channel, or, you know, I always think BBC Radio 5 Live, those sort of production values.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to compare myself to the BBC, but that was our strategy. If we sound like the other radio stations, if we sound professional, some people will go... I mean, I remember doing a radio show in Spain some years ago, and I was talking with somebody about some issue or other, something very conspiratorial. And this is a true story. I'm not making this up. A guy driving on the Costa del Sol phoned the BBC, because one of the things our radio station used to do was we used to take BBC programmes when we didn't have any presenters on air. Some guy rang the BBC and complained about the conspiracy bollocks that he was hearing on BBC Radio 5 Live. It wasn't BBC Radio 5 Live, it was me. And it was the greatest compliment I ever had. Not because I want to be, I couldn't give a damn about the BBC, and I don't rate them. I don't rate their presenters. But I thought, wow, doing it in such a way that it sounds as professional, or we sound a little bit like the commercials and the nationals, is a way in. You know, and there are some conspiracy programs on air, and the presenters are far more knowledgeable than me. They're brilliant and they speak very well, but they don't have that kind of exposure to commercial radio that I've had. And if they did, they'd blow the Richie Allen Show out of the water, such as their knowledge and understanding of things, but they don't have that bit of experience. So that's what my strategy was. Faisal, do you want to come back in on that?
Just to further what I was saying a little bit, to kind of look, Cliff was saying that when you're trying to explain things to people, they kind of close up. Whereas if you try and access their critical thinking by asking them to explain, for instance, in Syria, what they think America's doing there, what good do you think, how did, you know, do they have an explanation for how ISIS actually appeared there, and things like that, and just educate yourself about a situation to find out what's the sort of awkward question in all that is difficult for the other side to answer.
I think that's brilliant. Cliff, you'll have an opinion on that. What Faisal is saying is brilliant. The only downside to it is that it gets people's backs up, doesn't it? Faisal would acknowledge that.
It does. So that in the end, it's true. Before, people were used to me having a kind of a conspiracy theory rant about things, and they found it quite entertaining, even though they kind of laughed at it. And now just kind of turning it, they already feel awkward about what's happening. They know something's terribly wrong, and they just kind of would rather not really examine it too much. So it does definitely get more annoyance asking awkward questions.
Cliff, you have the final word on this, and then I'm going to take more calls. Terrific tonight, this phone, and I've not had to play any music, and I'm behind with ad breaks as well. Cliff, final word on it then. What's it like then? Are you optimistic? You know, because some people, when they come to this information for the first time, they get very depressed with it. It brings them down because the enormity of what's going on is hard to take. I mean, it was difficult for me to take. How are you coping with, you know, understanding the malevolence of what's happening?
I've probably gone through the same emotions that you and most people have. But the way I am as a person is that, as I said earlier, my philosophy is, you know, I'll do anything for anybody. Anyone needs any help, I'll help them. Not a problem. But if someone takes the piss, that kind of gets my back up. And so it's time, you know, I've actually got stronger. And I was saying to someone just a day or two back that for the first time in my life makes more sense now I realise the chaos that's going on out there and the reasons for it than it did before. Because I knew all these things that I was told as a kid growing up and, you know, getting older, a lot of it you think, well, that don't quite make sense. I don't quite get what happened, but okay, I'll take your word for it. But now, knowing what I know through the terrific learning that I've had over the last 10 months means for the first time in my life, honestly, I feel more clear and more positive about things than I've done in a very, very long time. And so my approach to it is, you know, don't get down. You've got to get up and get back at it and make a change, make a difference. But that's the thing. I want to make a difference, but it's the strategy which I should approach because the program has been so strong for generations.
Cliff, I think you're doing well. I think you've made a brilliant start. Faisal, I'm going to give you the last 15, 20 seconds on this. I know you've got something to say. I know you want to jump in there, and then I'll move on. Go ahead, Faisal.
Right. One other thing was the to do with the Trump election and all the theories on the Trump election, that I kind of have one awkward question, which is pretty much for every side, every point of view, which is that there's been a lot of theories. A lot of people kind of go back in hindsight and put together a theory, but none of those theories seem to include that UN vote, which really nobody seemed to expect, and nobody can still quite adequately explain how that happened. That basically Trump got elected, great, that's one thing, and then Obama failed to veto this UN vote.
The latest resolution condemning the settlements, yeah.
The settlement resolution. And there was only one thing in it which I kind of noticed, which was that Trump sort of tweeted, oh, you better veto that resolution, Obama. And then, of course, he didn't. And to some extent, the tweet was almost trapping him in a situation where he couldn't. But, I mean, I know that's far-fetched as well. But I haven't really heard another theory on that one.
Well,
and we know, I think we can all be sure that if Hillary had been elected president, that would never have happened.
I couldn't argue with that. And what was even more fascinating was the subsequent tweets by Trump, where he directly tweeted the office of the Israeli Prime Minister and said, you know, it's okay, things will be fine when I'm in office. Fascinating times. And like I said last night, Faisal, at the very beginning when we heard that Trump press conference, I haven't a clue what's going on there. Listen, I'm going to move on. Loads of more calls. Cliff, it was an absolute pleasure to hear from you. Thanks for coming on the programme.
Thank you very much, Richie. Keep up the good work. Good evening, Faisal. Nice to have spoken to you. All the best.
Brilliant. And you too, Faisal. Thanks, mate. Thanks for all your support and your interest in the programme as well.
Cheers. Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Not at all. Have a great weekend to both of you. And I'm sure we'll hear from them again. Absolutely amazing global phone-in today. It really has been. I was worried about it because it was a late in the day idea. I was speaking to a couple of potential guests and things weren't working out in terms of the timing of those guests coming on and all of that. And I thought, well, what will we do? And I was absolutely adamant I was doing a programme, despite the fact it was very uncomfortable after the dentist visit. There was no way I wasn't doing a programme today. So, brilliant global phone in 20 minutes past the hour. The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. We are broadcasting, I neglected to mention this earlier on the terrific alternatecurrentradio.com, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and the TuneIn app as well. We're not far away now from David Icke's appearance at the O2 Apollo Theatre in Manchester, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. GMT. It'll run till around 9 p.m. that night. Yeah, it really will. And I know there'll be somebody listening to this, and this will be the first time they've heard that. You what now? So he's going to be there like all day? Yes. Something like 4 2.5-hour segments. And flies by. Flies by. Staggering. Nothing like it on planet Earth. It's not the greatest show on Earth. It's the most important show. It's not even a show. The most important event on planet Earth. It goes to the Helix Theatre a week on Saturday, the 21st of January. Tickets for that. I think there's about a dozen left. From what I was told, about a dozen left. If you're in Dublin or if you're in Ireland and you can make that, go to theworldwidewakeup.com. Now, I am going to take a break or I'll be in trouble. When I come back, more of your calls. And I think about 60 tweets came in there during the chat with Faisal and Cliff. So I'll read out some of those tweets as well.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
It is the People's Radio Show. It is the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your programme. It wouldn't exist without you. Thank you for supporting it. If you'd like to support it, please go to paypal.me. That's M for mother, E for echo. paypal.me/Richie Allen. Make a contribution only if you can. Okay, if you go to richieallen.co.uk, there are bank details there as well. But paypal.me/Richie Allen. If you can make a contribution, please do. If not, there are many other ways you can help us out. One of those ways is by spreading the word, letting other people know it exists. And I don't just mean on social media. I mean within your circle of friends. Here's a podcast. Here's a memory stick. Memory sticks are very cheap. We used to call them pen drives, didn't we? Memory sticks, USB sticks, very cheap. take one of our podcasts. You can download it for free at podomatic.com, or you can get it from the Truth Seeker app. Take that podcast, make an MP3 out of it, takes exactly 30 seconds, put it on an USB driver, use the cloud, God forgive me for saying that, send it to somebody and say, have a listen to this. You might think it's mad, you mightn't like the presenter very much, you might think some of the guests are a bit odd, but have a listen to it. Just have a listen, see what you think. That's another way of helping us. paypal.me/RichieAllen. Yes, your calls, keep them coming in. We've plenty of time left. It's exactly, what time is it exactly? Is it 24 minutes past the hour there, is it? Something like that. 24 minutes past the hour. You can call 0161 408 2017, or you can Skype chat with Richie. That's all one word. Richie is R-I-C-H-I-E. Chat with Richie. It'll cost you nothing. If you're calling from inside the UK, it won't cost you very much anyway. Let me know what you're thinking. It could be about something mentioned tonight on the programme, or it might be something entirely different. That is up to you. Let's get to some of your tweets. Loads of tweets. Spirit Samba says, I came across David Icke's The Biggest Secret back in 2004. That woke me up. Yes, The Biggest Secret, published in 99, I think. Would have been reprinted, of course, a couple of times in the early 2000s. Amazing book. It's the book that laid bare the scale of the epidemic of paedophilia amongst the elites, or the ruling classes, whatever you want to call them. An amazingly courageous book. Written at a time when Edward Heath even was alive and well. David basically calling him a murdering paedophile and challenging him to sue David for libel. I remember saying that to somebody one time, and the person I said it to wasn't very fond of the independent media or David Icke, and that person said at the time, oh well, why would Heath sue Icke? Sure, Icke's just a nutter. Nonsense. Nonsense. If there wasn't a shred of truth in what David Icke was saying around the country and around the world about Edward Heath, David would have been sued into oblivion. Edward Heath didn't sue because he raped and tortured children on the Morning Cloud, and Secret Service, well, British Secret Service, and members of the intelligence agencies threw those children overboard. That's true, by the way. That's true, by the way. Just to remind you, by the way, that phoning the programme is a one-time-only deal. That's during any particular live programme. Some of our earlier callers trying to call back, we don't do that. So it's a one-call-only deal, all right, for obvious reasons. I'm not going to get into. We're not a parish here. The programme got a wide audience, and we like to reflect that. So the phoning the programme is a one-time per show deal. 0161 408 2017, and the say it, Richie. The Skype name is Chat with Richie. Karen Kelly, who's in Glasgow, tweets, it was the Scottish independence referendum and the BBC bias that led me to you, Richie, and you led me to David. That's the first, that, Karen. Thanks for that tweet, by the way. That's the first. It's 99 times out of 100, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. 99 times out of 100, people come across the programme basically, through David, originally, when the programme was originally launched. David Cole says, had you in podcast form on the phone, my phone came on, and you were being heard by a friend who asked why I had an Irishman. Says David, finish that tweet, it's very good. I want to get the rest of that tweet. David Stanford said, if you were questioning, you are awake, just lacking information. If you were asleep, you wouldn't be questioning, says David Stanford. Rich Mortimer tweets, these people still refer to David on the Wogan show. They still refer to that, tweets Rich. Just shows how ignorant some of them actually are. Wake the F up. And what's even more remarkable, Rich, is that David made a subsequent appearance on the Terry Wogan show sometime around about 2007, when Terry Wogan, I thought, very generously and very magnanimously said to David I was maybe you know, maybe I took a wrong step. I took a misstep. Maybe I was a bit sharp in the way I handled you back in the interview back in 1991. It was very very magnanimous of Terry Wogan. People don't mention that very often, but it happened. I know it happened because I watched it. Again, callers trying to get through even. I just missed them. 0161 408 2017. 0161 408 2017. That's 2017. Let me know. Come on the programme. Tell me what you're thinking. And my producer, Claire, was listening with great interest to Cliff talking about the difficulties in communicating his understanding of events with people maybe unwilling to listen to that sort of thing. And Claire was on to say to me, my producer, not sure you can control that. It depends on the family member. Some of my family have had enough respect for me to at least listen to me. Others just shut me down. That's my producer, Claire, who's spoken to me privately about that. Like I said, I've never really had to deal with that very much in my family. My family is small. I'm estranged from a lot of my small family for reasons that, if you've listened to the programme long enough, you'll understand. But I'm very fond of some of my aunts and some of my cousins, and I think they're pretty respectful of it. I think they would disagree with some of my opinions, but I think by and by they're respectful of my point of view and are respectful of what I choose to do in producing this particular programme. Right, callers have been trying to get through. I'm going to give them a minute to get through again, and I'm going to do something that I thought I would have done earlier. I'm going to play some music. A little bit of music at exactly 8:30. There's only 25 minutes left in the programme. Chat with Richie is the Skype name. 0161 408 2017 is the number from within the UK. It's +44 161 408 2017 if you're calling from outside the UK. This is the late great David Bowie and Young Americans on your Richie Allen Show.
They pulled in just behind the bridge. He lays her down. He frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed her then and there. She took his ring. Took his babies. It took him minutes. Took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken.
Minutes at the top of the hour. David Bowie, Young Americans, and we have another caller on the line. Caller, good evening. Welcome. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Richie. It's Jane.
Jane, welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
You're not snowed under, I hope, Jane.
No, just a little bit of a dusting, but no, nothing to worry about.
Marvellous. Now, I think we've spoken before in the past, in the not-too-distant past. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Elmden, little village in Essex.
Marvellous. An Essex girl. Lovely stuff.
Well, no, not originally. Devon originally.
You're an adopted Essex girl.
Adopted Essex girl, that's it. Yeah.
Do you know what it is, Jane? I should have heard the little twang of Devon in your accent, because it's a lovely accent, the Devon accent.
Yeah, Yeah, because when I last time I called, I thought, well, I'll just have a little listen to see how I sounded. And yes, it does come across quite strongly.
You sound fabulous. You sound lovely. You've got a lovely warm voice. You really do.
Thank you.
So what's on your mind tonight, Jane? What do you want to say?
Well, I was just going back to was it Cliff?
Cliff, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think when I've emailed you before, I've said that I listen to UK Column News.
Yes.
Yeah, they broadcast daily from Monday to Friday at 1 o'clock.
Same time as BBC News and
yeah, I don't bother
Sky
with
News. No, it's good. I mean, fair play to them for going on and going up against the BBC News and giving an alternative point of view to that.
The thing is that, I mean, I was just going to say, if Cliff, you know, tunes into them, they give you a lot of information, and they really do go into, you know, they link everything up. I mean, so, you know, some of it goes over the top of my head, but they have some really interesting people on, and they analyse everything thoroughly. So, I mean, I definitely don't bother with any mainstream media. The only time I have that on is first thing in the morning when I'm getting ready to go to work. I will put the breakfast news on, but it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable, the
nonsense.
Hello?
Yeah, yeah, I'm listening. No, I was just saying, the nonsense is unbelievable. The nonsense that's covered, the stories covered, the angle, the spin. Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, of course, I have to watch the nonsense, unfortunately.
Yes, but I know you do, I know. But the thing is that I've got to the stage now with, in regard to trying to spread the word, sometimes you have to come to the point where you just have to let it go. I've got two sons. The oldest son is tuned in, switched on, wide awake, and knows exactly what's going on. The younger son tends to sort of shy away from it because I think he finds it almost too much to take in and finds it a bit, well, not scary, but he doesn't want to face it, if you know what I mean. So what I do is every now and again, if something comes up which is glaringly obvious, I will just say to him, Dan, just have a little look at that. And slowly, slowly, he's coming round to seeing that we're all living in this matrix, and that things aren't as we're being told. That, you know, it's not right. So, and then somebody once said as well, you get to a point where you just have to come to terms with the fact that there are going to be some people, a lot of people, that will never accept it. And those people, you have to just walk away and accept the fact that they're not going to be there at the end of the day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But you just have to hope and pray that slowly but surely you can get your, it's so obvious now, it is to me, it's so obvious that things, we're being told a pack of lies by the mainstream media. It's all a big spin. So you just have to distance yourself from. I mean, like I said, to a degree now, I keep myself separate from the world. So, like David was saying the other day when he was on with you, I'm in his vibrational field now. I know that I'm operating on a different vibrational field to a lot of people, and I have to accept that and accept that things aren't, you know, I'm never going to get through to all the people, but at every opportunity I will put my point across. I clean houses. I'm a cleaner, and there are certain people that I go and clean their houses, and I've walked in and something will come up where I've been given the opportunity to just put something to them, and now there's a couple of people that I go to, and if they're there, they will start talking to me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit like being a bit of a, you know, you're a bit like going out and spreading the word. And that's how, that's what you have to do. Every available, and if you're on that level, then I find now that I find people will come in front of me, if you know what I mean. And there'll be an opportunity to just quietly say to them, well, look at it this way, look at this, and look at that. And that's how you, that's quietly just plod along and hope that they see, you know, that they see that things, you know, are different from what they've been told. I mean, my dad, bless him, is 87, and he's proper old school, and he's a Christian, and I was born and raised in a Christian home, and I have to accept the fact that because he's of an age now, he's never going to see anything different. But he knows that things aren't as he's been told, but he doesn't want to talk about it.
No, and what a waste of energy, and it would be, and then you'd only end up estranging yourself from your dad, and you love your dad. Do you know, it's interesting, David Stanford has come back on to tweet something, I think inspired by what you've been saying, and he tweets, buckets of truth will drown them. Little drops can slowly fill a bath.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. You know, don't be dogmatic. Don't risk losing important people to you.
No.
You know, you've got very strong ideas that maybe they don't agree with. And it's difficult because we get so passionate about the horrible things we see and why they're happening, that you're desperate for people to understand what you understand. But at the same time, you can alienate people. And if those people are really important to you, you don't want to alienate them, and nor should you, you know?
Yeah. Well, just one thing, Richie. Tina Louise Rothery.
Tina, wonderful woman, yeah.
Yeah. It might be an idea, if you can, to get in touch with her again, because there's an awful lot going on, particularly down in Surrey. I don't know if you've seen. I get it on through Facebook. I'm following all of it on Facebook, and there's been some quite disturbing developments down in Surrey with the fracking business. And it might be an idea, perhaps, to get her back on and just have a little bit of a catch up, because, like I say, I mean, to a degree, I couldn't give a monkey's about Trump and Brexit and all the rest of
Fair
it.
Enough.
Because it's, you know, it's, to me, I just let them get on with it now. I'd rather concentrate now on what's going to directly affect us.
Well, this is what almost what we heard earlier on from Mark in Gloucestershire. You can do what might seem like small things in your own community, but they're not. They have a massive knock-on effect in your community, whereas with the likes of Trump and all that, there's very little you can do about that madness.
No, and you can.
I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is that, I mean, what will be. We've just, to a degree, you've just got to let it play out. We know what's going on. We know what the agenda is. We are perfectly aware of what the plan is. So let's perhaps just concentrate on things that are going to directly affect us as a community, and the fracking business in this country is stepping up.
It's on your doorstep, Jane.
Yeah,
it's on your
doorstep. Here as well as there.
Yeah.
Yeah, my boys are both in Surrey. You know, I'm in Essex, and it's they're going to try and get it all over the country. So, it's going back to this business of basic things like the water. I've just been listening to the thing in America about DuPont, the Teflon people, and how they poisoned the water. It seems to be all over the world.
That's that story about the lake, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw that on davidicke.com headlines today, and you just... You can't believe they can get away with it, but of course they get away with it.
If we're going to survive, we've got to protect our basic rights, our basic needs, and that's clean water and clean air. And you know, if we haven't got clean water and clean air, doesn't matter whether Trump's or Brexit happens or anything.
Jane, that's a brilliant point. That I'm going to move on. I'm going to try and get another caller to you before
right,
we go. Listen, great to chat with you. Thanks. What a brilliant point that is, by the way, about standing up in your own community against these things, because you can have an effect on that. Thanks, Jane.
All right, cheers.
Lovely to hear from you. Jane was in Essex, but originally from Devon. Lovely to hear from her. She made a point earlier on as well about another independent news programme here in the UK. And I'll say something that I've said a million times before. Get your information from as many sources as you possibly can. While I, you know, sometimes joke, you know, people say to me, oh, I never, ever watch the BBC, Richie, anymore. I never listen to it, ever. I stay away from it. I don't get Channel 4 News. I don't read the broadsheets. And I maybe sometimes should be a bit more, you know, firm with some of those people and say, well, look, you should do. You know, as well as your independent media sources, you might regularly listen to 2, 3, 4 different programmes made independently. Do keep in touch with what they are saying, your BBC and your Channel 4 and others. You know, get your information from many sources, and you will instinctively know what you can believe, what rings true to you, what is good information, what is spin, what is mainstream, what is mainstream light, what isn't, what's trustworthy. You'll know instinctively yourself. You won't need to be told by me or anybody else. In my opinion. Right, 15 minutes to the top of the hour. One more break then, and when we come back we'll take one or two more calls. And it's been a terrific show so far. I've really enjoyed it, and it's flown by. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back. I've just had an email from Alan who's asked me why I don't bring people on from the types of programmes mentioned by Jane in the conversation. I specifically don't do that. I try as much as I can to avoid bringing people on the programme who are involved in terms of producing or presenting their own programmes. I try and avoid that. I don't see the point in it. There are a couple of notable exceptions. I mean, there are a couple of brilliant researchers in the United States who present radio programs, whom I'm very fond of, and they're in the United States and they have their fingers on the pulse there, people like Maria Heller and Michael Rivero and others. But by and large, when we get emails, Claire and I, from people saying, oh, this guy has a program or this girl has a program, get them on, we tell people we're not interested. If they have a program, if they're making a program on another platform, that's good. And if you want, you know, direct people to that. But we try and avoid people like that. There's another reason for that, that I suppose I could go into. I don't believe in this truth community bullshit there's no truth community. I've said this before on the programme. I'm not part of any truth community. And one of the reasons why I don't speak with other programme creators very often is because I might have cause to criticise these people, or I might have cause to go after something that they've been doing or saying. And I prefer to be a kind of a lone wolf, kind of totally independent from this alleged truth movement, which to me is nonsense. We have something called the Truth or Industrial Complex. We have hundreds and hundreds of people making programs, telling people what they want to hear, and it's about money. And it's about celebrity wannabe. There's a lot of that going on. The Truth or Industrial Complex, which caused a big stir when I said that some weeks ago. So I try and avoid these people as best as I possibly can. I'm not talking about now anybody mentioned tonight on the programme, but other news programme makers, I'm not interested in speaking to them on this programme at all, regardless of what it is they're doing or saying. I think you'll appreciate that. It's people who don't have a platform. You know, people writing books and people investigating stuff who don't have access to the BBC or Sky or Channel 4. These are the people that we want to get on our programme. La Antenna tweets, we have to monitor the lamestream so we know their daily agenda so that we can counter it at every turn with the facts omitted. JP tweets, bang on, Richie, each has their own agenda. Community is public, not the media. And that's obviously what I'm getting at. You know, I'm very... It was very interesting because in the very beginning when we were making this programme, and the programme wasn't established in any way, and it was very tentative, and it wasn't, you know, a certainty to survive in any way, we took an absolute hammering for that very, very thing, because we were avoiding, you know, very, very obviously avoiding speaking with certain people on this particular programme. But I'm very strong about that. And my producer knows that, and she's in full agreement with it. People who don't have a platform, that's what we want to talk with. Not interested in interviewing some guy who's got a programme somewhere. Couldn't give a shit, to be honest. I couldn't. Because those interviews will only end up in arguments anyway. You know. Alex tweets, is that why you didn't want to get Richard D. Hall on? I did wonder on that, but hey. No, there's many reasons why I didn't want Richard D. Hall on the programme. I'm not going to get into them here because he's not here. I just don't care about people like that. Les tweets, you're right. When people join groups, they end up believing things just because the leaders of the group believe it. Yeah, absolutely right, Les. Good stuff. Right, I'm really looking forward, I must say, more than you'll know, than, you know, meeting some of our listeners on Saturday. You'll know by now that David Icke is at the Apollo Theatre in Manchester on Saturday from 10 a.m. It's sold out, sadly. It's sold out, not sadly, but it's sold out for anybody who wants to go now. It's too late. To follow the Worldwide Wake Up Tour, go to theworldwidewakeup.com. I can't wait to meet some of our listeners who found the programme through David Icke and davidicke.com. That's a wonderful thing, that. It's a wonderful connectivity. So I'm looking forward to that on Saturday. It's going to be a remarkable day. And because I've seen David before, even though it's a very organic and it's a very moving presentation. It's moving. It's very moving at times, very emotional. But it's moving all the time. It's evolving. You know, I'm looking forward to it because there'll be a lot different in it. A lot of things different to when I saw it in Amsterdam, when I saw it on the Isle of Wight. So I'm so looking forward to meeting some of our listeners. Paul Tweeney says, but we want you to specifically interview certain people, whether they have a platform already or not. Paul, respectfully, I couldn't give a shit, mate. If they have a platform and they present a daily programme, I couldn't give a damn whether people want me to interview them or not. I won't be interviewing them. Full stop. If you want to know what these people think, listen to their programmes. Simple as that. You know, I turn down interviews with many of these people because I say, look, I've got a platform. if my listeners can be bothered to want to know what I think, they've only got to listen to the Richie Allen Show. Therefore, it's probably not a good idea I come on your program. Rich says Jim Mars is not... Jim is an author, and he's a part-time radio presenter. I've known Jim for many, many years. Jim doesn't qualify. I'm talking about people who make regular programs, people who spend a lot of time on social media, people who have already got a platform, you know, at the risk of repeating it over and over again. Daniel tweets, "See you in Manchester, Richie." Daniel, the next time we do one of these phone-ins, you're forced on. We're running out of time. Daniel was going to come on tonight to talk about mind control. I'm very interested in what he has to say. So next time we do a phone-in, maybe next week or the week after, Daniel will come on and talk to us about his thoughts on mind control. No doubt about that. 6 minutes to the top of the hour. We've had a good old week. On the programme. We've had some very good interviewees, some very good guests, and I'm delighted with the way things have gone since we came back after Christmas. Things have really gone well with the programme. To get those interviews and to hear what you might have missed, go to youtube.com, look for The Richie Allen Show there, and subscribe to it. And there is a back catalogue of every single one of the interviews we've ever done since September 2014. Paul comes back on to say to me, "I said, we want you to interview people because we like you. You got that wrong, mate, and I've been a long-time supporter." Paul, I wasn't having a go with you. Thank you for being a long-time supporter, mate. I really appreciate that. Maybe there's a misunderstanding between us, and there's no problem here. I just try to avoid people whom are, let's say, regular travellers in the Truth or Industrial Complex and people who have their own programmes. But thanks for the compliment, Paul, and thanks for listening to the programme. It's at the end of a long week. I can be sharp sometimes in my comments. It's been a long old week, Paul, so cheers for that. I appreciate that. Right, look, I'm going to get out. No time left. If you are at the Apollo on Saturday, I look forward to saying hello to you. I really do. More than you will know. Thanks to my producer, Claire Calvey, to Simon, of course, for all the work Simon does on the YouTube channel. I'm sure the podcast will be online very soon, and I'm sure an edited version, I'll probably have to do it myself, an edited version of the phone-in show, editing, taking out the ad breaks and all of that, or maybe not, will be on YouTube early tomorrow. Have a fantastic weekend. There won't be a Sunday view, obviously, because of the weekend that's in it. I won't be in any condition on Sunday to do a programme. We'll be back with you live on Monday at 8 p.m. BST. Thank you for supporting this programme and for listening to it. And thank you to all of our amazing callers. How wonderful. How wonderful it was. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Look after yourselves and one another. See you Saturday if I do. If not, talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it.